I was doing some coaching with Madame Koldovsky, Gwendolyn Koldovsky, and she said, you know, we really should take you up to Madame Lehmann. And I said, okay. And I was a little bit frightened, should I say, or in awe. But she wanted to take me, and Esther went up too, because at that time Esther Andreas was playing the piano also. So she played the piano for me up there, Madame Lehmann. She was in a wheelchair at the time because she was having problems with her legs and things. We did a little of the niceties of how do you do, and then I began to sing, and I believe at the time I was singing Richard Strauss, and I had an aria prepared. I had prepared the Faust aria, you know, the jewel song, from the beginning scene, from the very beginning opening recitative. I began to sing, and suddenly she stopped me, and I thought I was going to hear a vocal criticism or help or suggestion. Instead, she said, let me see your legs. And I kind of looked at Madame Koldovsky and Esther Andreas, because Madame Koldovsky wanted to listen too, did not want to play at the time, which is interesting, isn't it? She played later for me, but at the time she wanted to listen and watch what Lehmann was saying. So I looked a little puzzled, and, you know, I really want to see your legs. So I pulled my dress up a little, and she says, no, no, all the way up. Pull your dress all the way up. And I thought, my goodness, and Madame K, I used to call her Madame K, nodded to me, go ahead, go ahead. So I pulled my dress all the way up to the very top of the legs, and she said, oh, good, you have the good legs, you can sing all the sexy roles. She was so sweet, because then she said, you know, I could not do those roles. My legs were just not the kind of legs to do those roles. And that was my first encounter, and of course she went on with vocal ideas and phrasing and all kinds of things like that. And quite amazing, I must say. I thought she would be rather, oh, I don't know what word to say, very great disciplinarian, which she was, but I thought she would be so strict that there would never be any humor involved at all. And there was a lot of humor with her. With her teaching, I had a lot of good humor with her. I spent a good period of time on a regular basis working with her, about 6 months, going up, not every week, but every 2 weeks. And then, of course, we were in contact throughout my career, and I would go back and work with her again, and she would write me many letters. She wrote me many letters when I went back to New York. My audition for the New York City Opera was the Faust aria from the very beginning scene, which was her advice. She said, be sure and sing the entire scene. And I said, oh, won't they think it's too long? She says, that is the point. It is long, but it shows your versatility. And she said, just announce that's what you would like to sing and take the consequences. Well, the consequences were when I announced what I would like to sing, they all groaned because it was so long. You know, doing the whole scene, most people just flip off the jewel song. But I was doing the entire scene. Well, I want you to know I did the entire scene for them, and I was hired on the spot. And so her plan was good. One must remember, whether she sang in French a lot or any other languages a lot other than German, she was so musical, and she was such an interpreter. She did know the pronunciation very well, by the way. But mind you, I was relatively young. I was 24. I made my debut in an Italian opera. It was Musetta. And she gave me advice about that, too, but I unfortunately did not get to work it with her. My studies with Lehmann started in 1968 and continued through 1969, and then I would go back a little bit through the early 70s. And a lot of what happened was she wrote me a lot, a great deal, with this big, expressive handwriting. For example, I was asked to go to the Met very early on. I was at the New York City Opera singing major roles, and very pleased to do so, extremely pleased. I mean, what a great opportunity. And then I was asked to go to the Met by Sir Rudolf Bing, and I consulted Lehmann about it. She said, absolutely not. She said, why would you go there to sing little roles and be an understudy to everyone when you are learning big roles? She was a great interpreter. I have another amusing story about that. And I went back and I took my various leader pieces, Brahms, Strauss, and things, and I had some recordings of her. And I played them, and the next time I came back, I was making a complete imitation, and I was taking breaths all over the place. Ja, du weißt es, teure Seele, you know, like that. She stopped me and she said, what are you doing? I loved her accent, by the way. I can't do it perfectly, but I get a kick out of it. I said, I'm doing exactly what you did on your recording. She said, oh, no, this is not good, bad. I said, well, what's the matter? And she said, I had no breath control. My breathing was terrible. You have long line singing, use long line. And that's how she'd say, you know, she wasn't mad. I mean, maybe I could have been terrified that she kind of pulled up her voice, you know, in that way. But she was adamant that I should not copy her. Her strongest point was being in love with the words. Did she correct me? A lot, yes, of course. Did she change my vocal technique? Not one bit. She respected what I could do. I'm not sure that was her strong point anyway, to change technique. Technique of breathing or technique of phonation or technique of, you know, is your throat open? Is it? I don't think she did that very much. She just technically did not get in there. She got in there artistically, musically, interpretively. It's one of the reasons we got along so well, is I very much was in love with the entire music. I love the orchestral part of the music. I love the instrumentation. And I think that that was part of my early training as a violinist. So the words to me from Lehmann, she lived and breathed the poetry. She was the poetry. And she taught that to me. She truly taught that to me. I didn't always succeed as much as I would have liked to with it. One afternoon, I said, I so would have loved to have seen your Marschallin. And she said, well, I will do it now for you. And she was in her wheelchair, and she started the scene where she, you know, speaks of her youth going and needing to give up Octavian and so on and so forth. And I want to tell you something. Before my eyes, she was singing it an octave down. She was actually singing the notes, but in an octave further down. She actually changed from a woman who was getting quite old and in a wheelchair. She became the Marschallin right before my eyes. The most beautiful woman with these eyes and this expression. It was unbelievable. She took the words, made them so special. Her face was so special. Her face was amazing when she was singing. The idea that one could change before you, a complete look by what she was thinking, as opposed to what she was doing. She wasn't running around. Of course, the Marschallin doesn't run around in that scene anyway. But the inner working, the inner ability to be that person was really extraordinary. As far as imitating her, let me tell you something. Imitating her would never work. I mean, it would be, for a younger generation person, which I was, absurd. And she pointed that out to me. She said, you must find your own truth. Your truth is very important. Your understanding is very important. She did write a lot of poetry, a great deal of poetry. I actually sang some of her poetry, which was set to music at the time by Thomas Pasitieri. Sieben Lehmann-Lieder. Seven Lehmann songs. You know, no one had ever set them to music before. I'm surprised more people haven't done that. And she was a very sensual person. Very touchy. Reach out to hold your hand or show you something with a touch. And I wouldn't say that that was being sexual ever toward me. But it certainly was a warmth. It does change the relationship between a person, two people, when you finally can put your hand on their back or, you know, truly. She would say to me, and this is what the man might do to you on the stage, and she'd feel the back. You know, she couldn't stand really very easily. She could, but it was very difficult. So she, you know, I would walk near her, and she'd say, come here, and she'd say, this, the pressure here, what does that remind you of? You know, she was always asking questions so that I didn't just do something because I was a parrot. She was unique in her approach because it was an approach that was an actress always. She acted when she sang Schubert songs. I happen to have learned the entire Die Schöne Müllerin and Winterreise when I was 14 years old. So this was a huge revelation to me because I saw that the words had such a depth, had such a meaning. So this, it was not new to me to explore the words. What the newness was how
do you see the entire scene? Can you see the picture? Can you see the trees and the brook? Can you see all this? You need to see it. You can't just say it.